The title of my presentation today is Utilizing Telephone Interviewers as Counselors, and this is a lessons learned perspective from a smoking reduction study. So the purpose of the presentation that I'm going to do this evening is, first of all, I'm going to give you a quick overview of the study so you can put the context of utilizing the interviewers into the setting of the study. Then I'm going to focus on how we actually used the data collection interviewers as counselors to deliver the counseling call components of our intervention. I'm going to briefly present 3-month study results just so you can see how successful the study was using the interviewers, and then talk about feasibility and lessons learned from implementing the study using these individuals as counselors for our project. So the name of this project is the Smoking Less, Living More study. It's a behavioral smoking reduction study that was conducted in Denver, Colorado with Kaiser Permanente members. We targeted individuals who smoked 10 or more cigarettes per day and who were unwilling or unable to quit smoking at the time we approached them about the study. They had to be 18 years of age or older. And then the intervention itself was delivered over a 6-month period of time, which consisted of tailored telephone counseling calls in addition to tailored newsletters. And these were delivered in a sequential order, so they'd have a call, then a newsletter, then a call, then a newsletter. And the information gathered from the calls influenced the newsletters. And then we did a 12-month follow-up period with these individuals. We also conducted 3 assessments during the course of the study at baseline, 3 months and 12 months, which consisted of a biochemical sample validation as well, since we were collecting smoking levels. And then the overall goal of the intervention was to have participants to try to reach a 50% or greater reduction from their baseline smoking levels. So the intervention component, the main components that I'm going to talk about today are the tailored interviews or the counseling calls. There were 4 that were delivered over the course of the study, 1 at baseline, 1 a week following their procedure, and then 1 following 2 weeks later, and then 1 closer to the 6-month time period for the intervention. During these telephone calls, which at every time point we assessed their current smoking level, which was self-reported, we asked them about how many cigarettes they had smoked on average in the last 7 days, and we asked it in 2 parts, workday versus non-workday. We assessed their level of self-efficacy, and that was done by 1 question asking them what their confidence was on a scale of 0 to 100 about their ability to make a 2/3 or greater reduction in smoking. During these calls, we did some goal setting. Since we were asking them to make a 50% or greater reduction, we started with a 1/3 reduction goal and worked with them until they hit the 1/3 reduction, and then after that tried to do a 50% or greater reduction. In the course of goal setting, we also discussed barriers that the individuals were encountering during their reduction attempts and brainstormed strategies to overcome some of those barriers in hopes to get them to a successful reduction. We also discussed environmental support in terms of the Colorado State Quit Line and cessation resources and programs available at Kaiser. And then lastly, during the call, we did ask them if they had attempted to quit at any point in time since our previous call, because at that point, if they had attempted cessation, then everything for our reduction had turned into a cessation program, and worked with them on maintaining their quit. So the interviewers that we used for the program, they were data collection interviewers. They had no training or background in psychosocial or smoking cessation counseling. They'd strictly been trained to collect survey data over the telephone. So this was a completely brand new study for them, asking them to serve as more of a counselor than just asking the person if they wanted to reduce and set a goal and then call them back to see if they reached the goal. We really wanted them to engage in a dialogue with these individuals to help them meet their reduction attempts and their goals. We started out with a pilot study. There were 7 interviewers who originally were approached about delivering this intervention for the study. And after the pilot, we decided that 4 of them really were going to meet the needs of the program. And that was based on their ability to engage in a dialogue with the participant in the call, to actually build rapport and kind of connect with the person to work with them on their reduction over the 6-month time period. Since these individuals had no background in psychosocial counseling or cessation counseling for that matter, we had to have a pretty intensive training program for these interviewers, which before the training even started, we realized that we thought we could just put some key pieces of information together and they would be able to form a dialogue with the participants, and we found that that was not the case. What we ended up doing was having to script out every call that these individuals did for us, really identifying what barriers, strategies, any scenario that could possibly present itself during the course of a call. We had to have dialogue for them and available information so that they really didn't have to truly think on their feet but would be able to deliver more of a counseling approach with the study participants. In addition, we did an overview session for the entire study, so which put all the calls in a context for the interviewers so they knew what their overall goal was with the calls. And then we did call-specific training for each of the individual 4 calls as they were being rolled out for the study. So that included 2 half-day training sessions where we had programmed the calls into a computer-assisted telephone interviewing system. So while the interviewers were on the phone with study participants, they would have the entire call on a computer in front of them where they could enter data and have the information available to them while they were talking to the study participants. During the call-specific training, we'd go through the entire call, all the possible scenarios that were available, and answer any questions that they had. They'd go off on their own, run through the call, and come back with any questions that they had, and we'd address those at that time. In addition, we did live monitoring of a majority of the calls at the beginning of the study just to make sure that they were kind of getting out of that data collection mode and really engaging participants in the dialogue about their smoking reduction. And they did receive real-time feedback, so the minute they got off the call, they met with whoever was monitoring them to tell them what worked, what kind of they needed to work on to improve on the next calls. And then we found out that during the course of the study that they really needed some independent time before making calls just to practice scenarios they hadn't done in a while and just really work on making the call and their own and using their own language as opposed to just reading off the screen that was in front of them. And this doesn't show up very well, but this is just, for some of you who have never seen a CADI system before, this is one of the screens that was available to the interviewers during a call. It says on the upper left, great, now let's talk about how you can apply these 2 strategies to the difficult situations you've identified. So at this point in time in the call, they've already discussed the goal with the individual, identified some difficult situations that might be working against the individual reaching their reduction goal, and then we've given them strategies that they can apply to the barriers that have been identified. And so this is all there in front of them as they're talking to the participant. So after we trained them and sent them on their own to deliver the intervention, we did some assessment because we wanted to make sure there was some consistency in delivering these calls and that they were really working for the participants as well. So we did, obviously, the live call monitoring, which I just discussed. We also did participant satisfaction at the 3-month time point because we really wanted to get a sense of what the participants' experience was with working with these individuals. The study staff end of visit notes included research staff who did the biochemical sample validations at the 3 different time points. If we were meeting with a study participant and they had made comments about their interaction or engagement with their interviewer, we also documented that and added that to our database. And then we also did some end-of-study debriefings with our interviewers because we wanted to know what it was like from their perspective to be delivering an intervention they'd never been asked to do before. So our participant satisfaction results, Again, we assessed this at 3 months, and we asked them about 7 qualities that we felt were key to making the counseling calls a success for the participants, which range from friendliness, helpfulness, whether they felt their interviewer counselor was understanding, supportive, helpful, knowledgeable. So our range of results were 4.2 to 4.5. So a lot of participants were satisfied and happy with their interactions with their counselors over the period of time they participated in the study. And in addition just to ranking their the qualities on the 5-point scale, we also gave them the opportunity to fill out an open-ended question, a couple open-ended questions on what they liked about their interaction with their counselor and what they disliked. And so some of the responses we had was, she was interested in my progress and she was very supportive. These first ones are from people who were very satisfied with their counselor. The more often she called, the better I did with reducing and being aware of my attempts to smoke less. And then my favorite one was from somebody who really didn't like the counseling calls. And it says, I seem to go for a smoke right after each call. So just really briefly, the 3-month results, and I just put these few up here just so you did have a sense that since these individuals were not, you know, true counselors, they still were able to make a great impact with the participants of our study. We had a total of 320 participants. Again, it was a randomized trial, so we had 164 of those in our intervention arm. Self-reported smoking reduction. This goes back to the questions on the last 7 days, on average, how much have you smoked workday, non-workday? And about 20% in the intervention reported a 50% or greater smoking reduction at the 3-month time point versus 9% in the usual care. And just to give you a sense, the average baseline smoking level for the study was about a pack a day. So at 3 months, about 20% were down to half a pack a day. Biochemical validation, these results are strictly on, I should say we did 2 biochemical validations. One was expired carbon monoxide and the other was a saliva cotinine. The biochemical validation for this result is just on expired carbon monoxide. And again, off of the validation, about 20% had reached a 50% or greater reduction at this point in time versus about 5.8 in our usual care arm. And then as for implementation, we did have some substantial attrition over the course of the study. Obviously, our first call, we had 100% completion because that was tied to our recruitment and enrollment call. And by the third follow-up call, which was right at the 6-month mark, we had about 95% of the calls completed. People were tired of working on smoking. So some of our qualitative results. This came from both the end-of-study visit notes by our research staff, the end-of-study interviews with the interviewers themselves, and just comments that the participants had made over the course of the study. And for this, the 2 key themes that really presented themselves in making the calls a success and having participants engaged and at least excited about working on reduction, now whether they were successful or not, that's a whole different story, was the rapport building abilities of the interviewers to really personalize these calls to the individuals, even though they technically had information right in front of the screen that they could have been reading word for word, and they didn't. They really made it their own, as you see, making the call your own. Having a realistic philosophy as well. While we know cessation is the best option, some people just aren't at that place. And so the fact that they were willing just to try to make a reduction or make an attempt to change their smoking behavior in a real-world setting, you know, each person had their different circumstances, and so we just had to be realistic about what they were trying to do with what their context was. And then the last one, which was also very key, was that the participants and the interviewers themselves really liked the fact that there was continuity. Same interviewer called the same participant for every call. And so the interviewers liked that because they could make notes about what was discussed during the call, and they'd call the person back and they'd say, oh, last time you were experiencing this, how's it going? Which really helped build the rapport with the participants. So some lessons learned. It took a lot to get these interviewers out of the data collection mindset because that's all their training had ever been. And so One of the lessons learned was the timeline we had set to for training was pretty unrealistic. And so once we thought we could just train them, send them on their own way, and everything would be fine, we found out very quickly in the pilot that that was not going to work, and went to a more iterative training process that went over the entire course of the study, and that really helped them build their confidence and really get out of that data collection mindset. We did have to make some adaptations to assist the interviewers with carrying out the intervention, which goes back to having to script out every aspect of the call, which was very time-consuming, not only for the programming, but the testing and the retesting. And any time we encountered a situation on the call that we didn't anticipate, we'd have to go back and reprogram it and retest. And so that was a little bit more than we originally anticipated. We also did some additional training for the interviewers, which consisted of motivational interviewing techniques, kind of informing them about harm reduction, because a lot of them had not ever heard of what harm reduction was, so not only in terms of this particular project, but also within the context of the political views of what it means in this country versus other countries, and how some people might have a problem with the whole concept. And then, again, the iterative training throughout the course of the program. So some conclusions. Overall, at least based on 3 months, we're analyzing our 12-month data right now. The program was well received by the participants in our study who were unwilling or not ready to quit smoking. We proved it was feasible and successful to implement our intervention with data collection interviewers as opposed to trained counselors. And despite the lack of their training, the interviewers were able to learn and successfully employ rapport-building skills and actively engage a majority of the study participants in working on a smoking reduction study. So briefly, I just want to thank, first and foremost, the actual interviewers who carried out the study for us and our study participants. Also, the National Cancer Institute for funding this project. And lastly, my colleagues back in Denver. Thank you.